Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Vice Admiral Conrad Lautenbacher, U.S. Navy retired, Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere, and Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And joining us in our conversation is Dion Rudnicki. Well, Admiral, could you tell us how NOAA is developing a corporate identity?
We look very strongly at trying to bring our lines together. We have five basic lines, a weather line, an ocean line, a satellite and data line, a fisheries line, and a research line. Very simply, they're sort of our, you know, car. This is the General Motors example. We have all of these groups. We have to bring them together and make them work together. We have tried to rally around the name, NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. It's a powerful organization, as I mentioned before, because it covers a broad variety of needs and interests for the country. So bringing people together, both at headquarters and in our regions, we've looked at where we have weather offices and where we have fisheries offices, where we have a satellite and ocean operations going on, research operations, to within each region try to bring NOAA personnel together and discuss what goes on and how and relate to each other and build a NOAA identity so that when somebody calls and they want some information, they can call NOAA and they can get the answer from anyone. They don't have to call a specific branch of NOAA. Up until this point, that's been very hard to do. So this changing from a single line structure and what I would call 1,000 mom and pop shops that we have in NOAA to an organization that's coordinated and coherent and allows people to, and you can go to our website. I encourage people to do that. We have a good website that gets you to each one of our areas and you can bore down going to NOAA. So we're working hard on building the corporate identity.
Could you give us a sense of a snippet of the management challenges and how long you think it'll take to do this?
It's a difficult management challenge. I mentioned that the organization is 30 years old. You say, well, that's a long time. It's really not a long time when you consider that it's composed of organizations, many of which are 200 years old, like the Coast Survey, which is part of our organization, fisheries that began in the middle 1800s, etc. So I think we have several generations, and generation to me is 3 or 4 years, because that's about how long people stay in jobs and move on, to build this change in culture, to think about NOAA as the parent organization and what people do as part of NOAA versus part of the weather versus part of the ocean prediction versus part of fisheries. We are working hard to provide that kind of encouragement for all of our employees. I think, and I believe most of them understand that as you look at the challenges that this country faces, that they individually in their careers and in their organizational sense are going to be much more successful if they are working with larger groups and larger issues and solving some of these significant societal problems and challenges that we have. That can only be done with this kind of a corporate matrix structure that we've built.
Now you touched upon earlier matrix management. Can you give us a few more details on how you're applying matrix management to your organization and how well and successful it's been thus far?
It starts at the very top with the strategic plan. For instance, the four themes that I mentioned earlier, those are not just words on a piece of paper. Every dollar and every employee in NOAA is allocated to those four themes. So there's already a program structure, and there's a person in charge of each one. So if you want to talk to NOAA about climate, I will give you the name, and you can talk to that man and that and in some cases woman. Who are in charge and must be responsible and are responsible today for doing the strategic planning and programming for the whole theme. Now, inside of the theme, we have program managers. And I think you can easily see, if you look at ecosystems, that, for instance, in ecosystem management, you need to understand what goes on in the ocean. So the National Ocean Service is involved. That's one of our line structures. Certainly, weather makes a big difference in terms of management of ecosystems. So the weather's involved. The fisheries are involved just because that's the living resource that we work with, and many biologists are in that area that deal with the effects of the other agencies, other parts of our agency on their specific disciplines. So each one of those covers a wide variety of disciplines and therefore brings in each line office. Now, inside of that, you have program managers. Some of those program managers only having single line authority because they work in a specific area inside of weather. In other areas, we have programs. We have at least 15 programs now that have program managers that must manage people and resources in multiple line offices. And so that is the trick. And so we are working into the area where we, at the program manager level, we have an integration across what used to be traditional stovepipes and single line authority. So there's now dual line authority in this system. And it's not without its challenges, but it's working.
In bridging on that a bit, I mean, the diversity of missions as well as the diversity of geography, I mean, based upon NOAA's organization, they are located all across the U.S. Tell us a little bit about the challenges of this geographic dispersion and how that is impacting your approach towards management and the sort.
It brings up the issue of communication. As I mentioned, NOAA has roughly 13,000 people, somewhat less than that, but that's a good number to go with. And they're deployed over our entire nation, from Caribou, Maine, to Key West, Florida, to Point Barrow in Alaska, to American Samoa, to the South Pole, measuring carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases. So we have offices, and some relatively large, some small, all over the country. Our weather forecast offices, for instance, almost everybody knows where their local weather forecast office is in our country. Those are parts of NOAA. So you have this very dispersed organization, yet they need to work together. So communication becomes a huge issue with us. We're very much web enabled. We use the web. We work email. We work our video conferences, teleconferences. We use every possible modern day technology in order to be able to reach our folks and bring them together. Webcasts. I go around and give town halls. We have our leadership to go around and talk to all of our people. It's a continual battle to try to ensure that the entire organization is focused and operating on one plane.
How is NOAA meeting the priorities to effective partnerships, and those partnerships including all levels of government, academia, and industry?
This is a critical part of success because, as I mentioned earlier, the societal challenges that we have are not... It cannot be solved by NOAA alone. They can't solve by NOAA and NASA alone in many cases. You need to have, from the federal side, interagency groups. So we have been big proponents, strong proponents, and the people that work for me have been as well, because they understand these issues. And so we have worked our way into and support very strongly interagency working groups that are sponsored by the White House, that are led by the White House, policy directed by the White House. And that's been extremely important for collaborating at the national level. We also, because many of our people work well with academia, we have ties to many of the academic institutions across the country. We have partnerships in research and in the application of science with a vast number of scientific colleges and graduate schools. We also look at local and regional managers. For instance, let me take a simple example, and that's hurricane forecasting and the emergency management associated with hurricane forecasting. Every one of our weather forecast offices is tied directly into the local, county, and city emergency management systems that are located in their area. The National Hurricane Center, when you see that on television, you see our people sitting right next to the national, the FEMA people, worrying and dealing with these issues in partnership. So we've worked for a long time to bring on board with us and to be part of their organizations everyone that affects the products that we provide. A tornado warning is not any good unless someone takes action. A tsunami warning is not any good unless there's some way to get it to the people who need it. All of the things that we do are connected to other organizations, from science to emergency management to local planning to zoning to permitting for new activities, from private industry to public development of our coast. So it's partnerships are absolutely critical.
You've talked about working with a highly credentialed team, knowledge workers, if you will. Are there any special management challenges working with knowledge workers?
There are special management challenges, and I think that's an area that we in science agencies or agencies such as NOAA need to spend an extra amount of time on. We have very talented workers and very talented employees, many of which have advanced degrees, and they have been successful because of certain behaviors in their field. Now, as you progress through the system in any organization, you need to develop other skills. You need to develop broadening skills. You need to develop management and leadership skills, and they need to progress on a continuum throughout your entire career. Before you go beyond your science bench, you then maybe have two or three scientists that work for you and you work on an issue. That's a certain level of management and leadership that's needed, but then you move up and be a division director and you've got 50 scientists and clerical personnel working for you. And gradually to the point where we need to train the next administrator of NOAA and the next head of our weather service. These are important management and leadership jobs for the country. And therefore, this progression, career progression in a science agency requires people to think broadly and beyond the normal bounds in which they're educated and in which their initial training occurs. It's a difficult challenge.
Are there any challenges in attracting and retaining them?
There are, because obviously the private sector pays well, and as we all know, the tech bubble and IPO bubble sort of burst, and so that's the employment opportunities in high tech areas are not quite as haven't proliferated as much in the last few years. So it's easier to hire computer specialists, programmers, and high tech folks. But that's an area where we have had a difficult time because we're competing with very high private pay scales. So it's gotten a little bit better, but we have to really work doubly hard in those areas to get the right kinds of people in because we function on high tech.
Those are interesting management challenges. What does the future hold for NOAA? We'll ask its administrator, Admiral Conrad Lautenbacher, for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.